JesusRising.com.
Several months ago, a while back, we did an interview with Yitzchak Chayutman on his vision of the heavenly Jerusalem. And we're back again with Yitzchak here in Jerusalem. Aliza Omer, that Aliza manifested, that were commissioned and described by Yitzchak. It's called A Quest for the Heavenly Jerusalem. And the first mandala we're going to talk about is called Orientation, a mandala of the way. And the first question I was going to ask you, Yitzchak, is if we read this in Hebrew from left to right, or we read the images in English from right to left, or is this in Chinese and we read it up and down?
Well, the advantage of the visual mode, of course, is that you can go by all the somatic directions that we can feel. The picture is, first of all, divided between half of it earth and half of it heaven. So it has the down and up dimensions. And on the whole, it's not only about going up as pilgrims, which it is, but it's also looking at the picture as if from a flying object, from a satellite above the earth. So you can see this horizon all the way to the edge of Asia. But in the forefront, you have on the left, the north, Europe. And on the right, you have Africa in the south. And this is called orientation, going to the orient. The position, the sighting position is right above the Gibraltar Straits. So the center front is taken by the Mediterranean, Mare Nostrum, our sea. But you see the other seas, the Caspian, the Red Sea, the North Sea, they act in such a way to make here a pattern of earth and water and different ways of moving and different influences in this region. So we have the bottom containing those three continents, and right at the target is a big fabulous city, walled city, that contains like the whole Middle East and in fact most of Asia as it is seen in from this perspective. But you have still the Himalayas and its rishis and the north with its shamans. All this kind of fabulous type of Orient.
Now, I've noticed this time for the first time that on the sides you have, like in most maps, a way of orienting yourself in the map. On the left side you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 till 0, which would be 10. On the right side you have the Hebrew letter equivalent. No, you don't. It's Aleph is 1 and Mem, which is not 2. So it's Aleph, Mem, Shin, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Kaf, Pe, Resh, Taf, Tet, Taf, and across the bottom you have Lamed, Nun, Samech, and then you have a dot, and an Ayin, Sadi, Kuf, and on the top you have He, Vav, Zion, an empty Chet, Tet, Yud. What is this all?
I guess everybody knows the game of Monopoly, where you have an outer course where the players race, and they never get to the center. They just fight on the periphery all the time. The idea in this game, in this picture, is it conveys the idea of a game in which you may go through all these abstract signs, which I'll explain in a minute, but something can happen. A light may come through one of those letters or numbers, and you'll find yourself sucked into this fabulous mythical environment as if you are going to not just running around the periphery of things all the time, but getting into the depth of it. What are those numbers? The 10 ciphers, they divide the picture into 10 levels. The letters are arranged by the order of the basic book of the Kabbalah, Sefer Yetzirah, which distinguishes three mother letters, which are the Aleph, Mem, and Shin. Then seven double letters, which can have two pronunciations, like Cha and Ka, of fin and p, g and g, d and g. And then there are 12 simple letters, which are the remaining letters. And we have arranged those 12 in four groups of three, which is also the arrangement you can see around this fabulous city that is surrounded by 12 camps of groups of three at each of the cardinal directions, like the tribes of Israel were at the desert.
And on the corners, you have four symbols, which obviously have meaning beyond just their picture value.
Yeah, these are the four living beings of the Merkava, of the heavenly chariot, as described in the vision of Ezekiel chapter 1. There is the likeness of a man on the right top. There is a likeness of the eagle on the left. There is the lion on the bottom right, the earth creatures. There is the bull, the ox, on the left. And right and left thus symbolize also the way they are symbolized in the Kabbalah, that you have chesed and plenty and greenery and so on the right. And you have more severity and frost and so on the left.
I see what looks like Australia, but being an American, the one thing I miss in this picture is the United States. I mean, are we now no longer part of this important element in the world that we believe ourselves to be?
Well, I once saw a picture in the New Yorker which showed a map of an overview of Manhattan and the rest of the world. You probably know which one I mean. This one is for this traditional pilgrimage to Israel. As an American, you still a pilgrim to Jerusalem. In some sense, you place yourself through your place of origin in some of the European Christian countries, and then join this perpetual or perennial pilgrimage towards Jerusalem, perhaps like crusaders were doing.
Is there somewhere here where is there a story? I mean, is there a beginning and a middle and an end in the classical sense?
Well, this picture tries to use a hyperspace or multidimensional space, which means also a dimension of time and eternity. What you have here is about close to 200 stories represented by those small figurines. Each one is some kind of archetypal story. We can survey the big faces and then get to smaller and smaller ones.
Let's do that.
Okay, the biggest figures that you see are on the bottom. You see two men. One looks much like me, one looks like an African prince. It was modeled on a young painter from a family from Morocco, from this North Africa that is conveyed there. He has a bird that's a sign of like nobility, like a hunting falcon. Whereas this figure more to the center is very much like my own portraits that the good painter was kind enough to put, and to looking at something like a sextant, like an astrolabe, that's measuring some type of psychic powers, looking across the water to this image of the family Shabbat table and of the miraculous child of Atlas that somehow is preparing to take the world on his shoulders, and meanwhile getting enraptured with the metamorphosis of a butterfly. And then you see two ladies a little more above. On the right is the Queen of Sheba, or this African queen, looking in loving eyes towards this fabulous city and its monarch on his high throne, which you see in the right side of the city. On the left, you see this lady, the lady of the lake, the lady of the waters, and who is also our painter. And each, that's her portrait, looking towards the city. You can draw a line from each of these three figures through the objects above the city, the sun and the moon and this heavenly city, but only two of those trajectories of myself and of my partner, the painter, would then go and hit this higher sphere above with all its visions. Whereas, unfortunately, this guy on the right, he missed it, which was a story of this picture.
What do we have coming up this, the right side? I see there's an arch there, and some people walking or traveling. Three figures.
This?
Yeah.
Well, this seems like priests of the Egyptian things. And they put here that the direction of the Great Pyramid of Egypt is on a special alignment to Jerusalem. In fact, it is here it's twisted to make the earth figures more feminine, more palpitating, full of their own mythical movement. But you can see from it that the Great Pyramid is in this direction of west-southwest from Jerusalem. In fact, it is 26 degrees from the east to the north, and which then puts this kind of cross that you will see later. It's an amazing cross because it goes on one hand to the first Christian capital and on the other hand towards Mecca, and its far side goes to this strange, fabulous center of Asia, which is called Shambhala.
And there appeared to be rays coming out of this pentagon-like place here in the middle, which is the direct middle of the painting.
Yeah, what you have is what you call a pentagon, or you should have actually say a hexagon, but it's an attempt to show not just a cube, but a hypercube, a cube in which it's very difficult, of a higher dimension, of which it's difficult in this presentation to know what's inside and what's outside. But still, it's clear that it's made of many, many cells. And the cells are occupied by certain people. What people? You see that around the city are 12 camps of the pilgrims. You can see that there is a cone of light going between those camps and this heavenly city. And you can see that people are lifted up and translated, and their souls ascend to reside in this heavenly city, where they will start the great ongoing work with these spiraling infinity-like figures of many stranded cultural DNA of humankind. The people who ascend to this level are capable of editing and re-editing the beliefs and the creeds of humankind so as to harmonize them and avoid the conflicts, so that there are more unified scriptures that can bring peace on earth.
So this is a process.
This is a process. As I said earlier, it's an attempt to put on a flat surface not just a three-dimensional, but a higher-dimensional picture, which means a process, and not just a process, any process, but it's a moral, ethical process of redemption.
I see on the right, somewhere between the Dalet and the Kaf, the Kaab in Mecca. Yeah.
You can see the Kaaba in special, again, in special relationship to Jerusalem. The, on the plane of the flight, there, you see a flying Kaaba, and you see the prophet. First, here is a prophet asleep in his cave in Mount Arafat near Mecca. But here you see him waking up and ascending and riding this strange winged contraption towards Jerusalem. And it's from where he is now, it's not clear whether he's aiming for the earthly Jerusalem or the heavenly Jerusalem. In fact, as we know, he was doing both. And this is, of course, one of the key stories, one of the many stories which are hidden, kind of, or portrayed within this picture.
And this is one of the stories that the people who have ascended and are joining this infinity of DNA will be harmonizing with other stories and myths?
Yes, because on the territory is a fabulous territory of heroes' quests, or of pilgrimages, of many stories and mythologies, including our modern scientific mythologies, which you can see in some of the figurines, like the character looking through his telescope, and so on.
And then what happens above the hexagonal city? That's quite a complex image that seems to change appearance.
Well, you have here a sphere, a higher sphere, on which are projected the common image of all those people, all those pilgrims, and it's a double figure. On one hand, you see the figure of the ascended Son of Man, or the angel Metatron. You see this big angel with its face over here, and its wings, which are playing and throwing out what seems to be many new worlds, are being thrown about. But it's also a portrait of a lady, somewhat fearsome, but also pretty, a heavenly lady, descending. So there is this man of humankind ascending, and his head is on the mind, in the head of this lady, of the Shekhinah.
And then above that we have the four Hebrew letters.
Yeah. To show that still this sphere is still, with all its high visions, is still a sphere of the imagination, of the images that people have. But this more abstract, more symbolic, more pure expression of Hashem is still above it and a source of inspiration.
That's the four-letter Yud Hey Vav Hey that comes from the center of the beautiful lady of the descending lady. The lady is descending.
Yes. And she is, yeah, you see that the lower hey goes into this sphere. She is an expression of the malchut, of the bottom hey of Hashem.
Where you have between the Muhammad, the prophet in the sky, and the prophet in the cave, you have a city. You have is that the Himalayas in the background?
The Himalayas and India, including the guru of the painter. You can see in his orange robe, and then, as I said, the Himalayas, and you see more towards Jerusalem, the old Garden of Eden, with a naked man and a woman.
Would you like to conclude with any other comments on this image and the direction that it took you in, or that it's meant to take us in?
Well, I think for us who worked on it cooperatively, it was an experience of revelation. Some people like to channel every afternoon or get a message once in a decade. For us, while we were working on it, more and more insights were coming. in each one of the four pictures, the same pattern are recurred. The part of playing, of drawing all this very detailed part of the earth was relatively straightforward. It went fairly quickly. To figure out the heavenly part took a lot of discovery. So much so that, for instance, this hyperdimensional cube, flying city, took almost 200 sketches till we got it right. When we had the exhibition after making the first two pictures, in the exhibition hall, we covered a whole wall just with those over 100 sketches of how you put those little cubes together. So they are both inside and outside and convey a higher dimensional reality. But also the face there. The orbs, the spheres above, around this ascended man figures are of the image of the soffit of the Dome of the Rock, which becomes progressively more important in those in this series of pictures. Each time that each picture took about a year to complete, full-time work, and we were learning and discovering a lot of things through this time. Well, here I told you about the strange things that out of the three people who started the picture, two sort of made it to continue to these higher things, and one went off, and in fact, the poor man committed suicide sometime afterwards, and it was almost like the picture was prophetic. Not that we noticed those relationships at the time, but then it became very evident that this happened to us. In the next pictures, more and more my own understanding about the feasible design of the temple and the heavenly temple more and more grew and matured through this work.
Thank you, Yitzchak. We look forward to another opportunity to sit with the next painting in the series and to look at it more closely and more carefully. And I thank you again for your time, and we've enjoyed this very much.
For making this opportunity to reach to your audience.
I also wanted to mention, for those of you who have a library available, there's an issue of the magazine Wired. It's the April 2004 issue, which features a series of rave awards, and one of the recipients of a rave award is our Dr. Yitzchak Chayutman with his image of the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a different image. It's maybe we'll do this one on one of the next programs, Yitzchak. It's very startling. It's really hopefully it's prophetic. Hopefully it will be so. Thank you again.